time parameters?
9 minutes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DS9 Minute, the Green Shirt minicast, which discusses an episode of DS9 in less time than it takes to defuse an active military engagement with a single data pad. I am Cameron, who just couldn't find a seat to watch DS9 from growing up. And hiding in the crawl spaces with me is Rob Campbell.
That's me and Newt and a couple other... who else hides in crawl spaces? I can't think of anybody else.
You've got some hard Newt energy.
Good, thank you.
Meanwhile, those who have seen the show as many times as Sisko shot that one beam over and over again, John T. Bolds.
I'm just going to merge into the wall here if I can't think of anything. I'll call you, but then I'll say I gotta call you back.
And the Bobby Blue.
Hello. I'll never let go, Jake Sisko.
Aw. Oh.
Well, this week we watched The Siege. Producer John, let's make four hosts sound like 400 hosts.
All right.
I just want to thank Dr. Bashir right at the beginning. Thanks for your concise summation. No more provisional government, no more invitation. Who asked you, Dr. Dramatic?
Speaking of the speech, Sisko jumped real quick to the savages are at the gate and they want to present our heads to the provisional government. Like, wow. Oof. Damn, Sisko, you are really selling it here.
Speaking of his opening speech, I love how he goes from Lieutenant Bilecki is engaged to a Bajoran. And then the next one is, and Ensign Kelly's daughter did a science project with a Bajoran girl. They won a ribbon. Like, those stakes are not equitable, Sisko. I don't know what you're doing.
It's confession time for me. I watched this episode weeks ago and forgot to do my homework last night. So I will be sharing fun facts, quote unquote fun facts, from IMDb.
They better be fun, Rob.
These better be fun. Mm-hmm. I'll cross my fingers. Frank Langella asked to be uncredited for his role as Minister Jaro Essa in the three-parter. Since he was doing the series for his children, Frank III and Sarah, both of whom were devoted Star Trek fans, not for exposure or money.
Good nice job,
Frank Langella.
F3, Frank III.
Frank III.
This is a small note, but same with the... Sisko's talking about Bilecki's engagement to a Bajoran. I really like that he doesn't like actually touch her back. If you look, his hand is kind of like just behind her. Yeah. Mm. And that's just a tiny note, but like women were always like manhandled in 20th century shows. So it was just a really nice, subtle touch.
Mm. Yeah. That's how Comic-Con actors greet you.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
For photo ops.
I missed the deleted scene where they all replied to Sisko's speech with, "You can count on my phaser and my phaser. I'll bend my phaser to you, Will." It just doesn't work so well with phasers, does it? Phaser. Yeah.
Rob, quick question. If this podcast were on fire, how much would it cost you to sell out John's seat in an escape ship?
Oh, crap. Good question. I don't know. How much you got?
Like 37 cents?
Make it 40 and we'll get a deal.
Okay.
Reference rule of acquisition number 31, never make fun of a Ferengi's mother.
That's a good rule. Yeah.
Bashir's ready for DS9's Wild Wild West. He's been waiting for this moment. I feel like anytime you see a sparkle like that in his eyes, it's imminent concern, unless it's in the bedroom.
For not having a Shakespearean name, this episode is all Shakespeare through and through. I love it. I love this episode. I love this three-parter, and that's a great way to end it.
Even though my first note was making fun of something, I fucking love this episode, too. Even modern shows sometimes struggle with getting across, like, the scale and chaotic energy and emotional stakes of, like, a scene like how this episode opens, like a big evacuation like that. And for my money, they, like, had just enough extras quickly crossing in front of the camera and, like, the perfect amount of poignant goodbyes between characters we care about. Like, the first 15 minutes of this episode are glorious.
Mm-hmm. Knowing Cameron's history with these, I'm surprised he doesn't want it to be a four-parter. He's always wants one more. One more. Always add one more. I'm sure there's a family history in the somewhere online, but this next point talks about Dax's second host, Tobin, who's mentioned as being an excellent engineer. Mm. I bet there's a long list of breaking down every past self. That's it.
They get 5 fucking hours to leave? What kind of shitty-ass bold timeline is that? 5 hours?
Yeah,
it's
pretty tight. I will say the cave subplot, that whole thing, I'm like, what are we doing here? We have such a great action buildup, and then we get this kind of comedy buildup to the subplot. I mean, it gets better by the end when they go and confront the minister and stuff, but boy, it's weird that they try and throw it in the middle of the episode there.
I kind
of
loved it, though. I thought it was I loved their relationship, and yeah, I loved the banter.
You didn't like the Paluku?
I mean, the Palugu. Yeah, I was like, how could you not?
I'm going to talk about that Palugu.
Yeah, we need a Palugu.
But for now, I want to talk about Molly's really cool, like, Katara from The Last Airbender braids. And, like, how long do you think they'll stay in? Like, Molly pulls those out within an hour after Keiko puts them in. Yeah.
Speaking of Palugu, the Palugu spider model was a favorite of Joe Longo.
Oh, Joe. Classic old Joe.
Speaking of Molly, if I were Keiko, I'd be so fucking pissed off right now at Miles. We've barely reunited. He never puts his family first. And I get duty. I definitely get duty. But when his daughter, like, begs him in that voice, what? I mean, what the hell, Miles?
Yeah. It was a heartstringy scene.
Miles O'Brien gets a ton of character building in this episode, like just backstory and current story. And I love his wartime reminiscing of both calling them the Cardies angrily and then saying, I love these rations. These were like the best part of being in war.
I like the rations bit too.
So good for O'Brien this episode.
Cardies is good.
Yeah.
Cardies.
Rom selling quark seat was just fucking gold.
Right?
Pressed latinum.
Yeah. I agree.
Those of you keeping track of the runabouts on the station, the runabout complement returns to 3, having replaced the Yangtze Kiang, which crashed in the middle of the previous season in battle lines, and they replaced it with the new Orinoco. So for those of you counting, keeping track of how many runabouts there are, it's still 3.
Then a second Rom. Take the double girl and run, Rom. Good for you. let's go to your brother now. I really love Sisko's hand on Quark's neck. It looks gigantic. It looks like Quark is a hobbit or something. I don't know. Love it. Also, like, what a great episode for Quark to learn how much money can't buy you.
Yeah. Very much like I said, my kingdom for a horse there. He had his whole scene with that, trying to get a seat. The Bajoran general rules. Like, we talk about competency porn all the time, and this guy is competency porn incarnate. He is, and it's great to see a non, like, scrappy fighter resistance Bajoran. Like, we don't get, we haven't seen a general before, and it's fun to see that side of their military.
Yeah.
Well, what's great is they did not need the scene with him in the last episode, but his character works so much better in this one because they took the time to introduce him last episode in the way they did. It was so good.
Stephen Mocht, who played Krim, was considered for the role of Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek Next Generation before Patrick Stewart was chosen.
Okay.
Is that the general, Krim?
I think so.
That blonde, good-looking, feisty...
No, that was Steven Weber.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's move on to Mr. Jaro and Wynn's creepy political molesting. I touch your shoulder. You touch mine. Hold awkward gaze and fade out. Ugh. Mm-hmm. They're so gross.
I like the way this episode goes all Fifth Element. Jaro and Sisko never face off. They never even talk to each other. Like, the main bad guys never talk to the main good guys.
That's true. Yeah,
I didn't notice that.
I was hoping that Dax and Kira's little beat up ship would actually be called the Sandpiper in honor of Steven Weber from Wings. Brian Hackett himself is here, and I loved his character. He played such a good, just like screw up lieutenant.
He had to have had fun with that.
This is where the fun facts become to stretch. This one's Richard Boehmer, Lee Nalis, and Frank Langella, Jaro Essa, are the only actors besides the regulars to appear in all 3 episodes in the Bajoran trilogy.
Oh,
wow. Ooh, interesting.
Do you think they're using Lieutenant Bilecki's hairstyle as a pretest of the pompadour for Captain Janeway? You think they're testing it?
Yeah.
I mean, because isn't Janeway coming soon? The timelines are about to cross.
I'm pretty close. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're testing that hairstyle.
Yeah. I'm going to say Julian Bashir with possibly the best action one-liner of all time when they pop up and capture the patrol.
Yeah.
Like, prolonged exposure can cause it. It's like, heck yeah, Julian, that was a hell of a trap.
Also, we learned that Julian Bashir is a Willy Wonka bee.
This takes place in 2370. Go, Bobby.
Oh, I said this off camera, but this is just a Shakespearean, but also a Titanic meets Top Gun vibes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned in the opening, I liked seeing Odo just be like, I'm a wall. I'm not anything complicated. like, yes, use your skills.
I don't know. I had questions about the tripwire, but guys, this episode, it was so good. It had it all. And what I loved about it is that they actually showed, instead of just telling, we got to see laser fights, aerial combat, poignant scenes between loved characters. And of course, the cherry on top was a freaking spider dog. And heck, I will not rest until I have a plushy Palugu.
I will, before I tell this last tip, I will say that 4 people found it helpful and 4 people found it unhelpful. This is part 3 of a 3-part story.
Oh, those four people who found it helpful.
Well, I mean, there's on the tip before where this takes place in 2370, 11 found it helpful and 14 unhelpful. So,
wow.
I see. I can see that. That's a data point, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe you're.
But yeah. But more people found it unhelpful, even though
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Mm, it's a great episode.
Yeah, it was great. I remember it being great when I watched it a while back.
Yeah.
The hell of a wrap up. Yep.
Three episode bangers.
It's exciting.
So far, season two, DS9. Good job. Mm. It's going to be weird to get to just like zany antics, which I'm sure is coming next.
Right. Good call.
I'm very curious how you're going to like the next episode because. Mm. Yeah,
is it all Palookus?
It's a strange jump from this to the next episode.
I figured. All right, well, but next week on Green Shirt, it is Gambit Part 1. Some more multi-episode segments, installations, segments,
parts.
Installments.
Fun parts. Fact, this podcast comes out every 2 weeks.
I find that unhelpful.
Mm. Oh,
do you find it helpful?
Thumb down.
Yeah.
Yeah.